Mr. Chair, this is Cheryl. I have a question.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Carlos, what is the JBNK or whatever that's going to be working with the wages program? What are they and what do they do?
The J stands for Jessica Bishan. She is the president of the National Federation of the Blind Sports Division. Her major is on education and sports science, health and sports science. She has experience working with blind youth in different programs. Her associate, I think his name is Jim or Jason Carroll, if you can remind me. He also has experience running different transition programs and youth programs for blind people. Jessica Bisham is from Colorado. But that's what I can tell you about them. They work with us before on the robotics training that I mentioned. Jessica is blind herself, and so is her associate. The only reason we are contracting with her for now is because we don't have a transition coordinator. And like I mentioned earlier, we're having a hard time recruiting staff members. At this point, we want to focus on the field services and trying to fill the positions that we still have open, so then we can eventually reevaluate also the hiring of a transition coordinator. Carol, do you want to add more about Jessica?
I know who Jessica Beecham is. I'm glad that you're working with her. So do they actually come to Nebraska then and run the wages program in person?
They will.
How does that work? Oh, okay.
They will, yeah. Okay. They will be here, yep. They will
okay,
be
that
here.
That sounds great.
What we're saying at the university, yep.
All right. Well, good question, Cheryl. Other commissioners, you have any questions for Carlos? Well, I'll jump in and you guys can add if you need to. A couple comments. The first one you had mentioned that I think it was Senator Vargas was going to sponsor a bill to get $500,000 to the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Vision Impaired so that we can analyze some, develop some statistics and maybe some suggestions and solutions on how to reach at-risk population in similar incidences like the pandemic. Am I saying that close to right, Carlos?
Yeah, actually the bill is for all commissions, the Native American Commission, the Mexican, or I think it's now called the Latino Commission, the African, the American Commission, the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. The initiative came from the Indian or Indigenous Commission, from the spirit. And they thought that all commissions should be included. So each of the commissions had a section like the one I read. Very much repeats the same language.
Okay, and they're each going to get a different amount?
For each is 500,000.
Okay, well, good. Well, I think that's a unique opportunity to identify some areas that we can certainly do better in the future, reaching different populations, especially the blind, and anything that we can do to either make it better for the future or better yet even use the funds to make it better now, I think it's a great opportunity to help. So I'm all in favor of that. The second comment is you had said how in a couple different ways you said that we're having a hard time attracting employees, and I can't help but believe part of that is maybe we're not offering enough money. And I think you also said that you're looking at ways to recategorize jobs or somehow make it where we can offer more pay for our existing staff at the Commission for the Blind, and I'm wholeheartedly in favor of that. I think we have demonstrated that we provide a very exceptional service, and perhaps maybe we need to have some recategorization or whatever, just so that we can pay our staff more, and anything that we can do to that, I say go for it. And I as a taxpayer, I see that that's a great investment. It's a good value. As a consumer, I see the value and the return on investment. And as a commissioner, I just see the need to keep the best people we can and attract good people. So I'm all in favor of that. So however you can do that, I think our budget's healthy enough. We've always been good stewards of our money that we don't necessarily have to go ask for more appropriation dollars, and we can use the funds that we have, and it'd be a good investment and a good return. So anything I can do to help you there, please let me know. And then thirdly, I appreciated all the thought and analysis and support on how we do things differently now in the North Platte area. You know, when the decision was made several years ago, it was a financial reason. And I think we always thought that maybe, you know, when things are better budget-wise, we'd go back and revisit that. But I think this is an example of sometimes, you know, when change happens, it's for the better, right? Even though maybe it wasn't anticipated, they Aaron and the staff there found better ways to serve that population that's maybe not quite as dense as it might be in the Lincoln or Omaha offices. So I appreciated them not just saying, oh, we got more money, why not just spend it, type of thing. So that tells me that every dollar is, you know, we're trying to get the best bang for every dollar. So I really appreciated those comments that you read on that. So that's the three comments I have. Any other commissioners have any comments for Carlos before we move on? All right. Well, hearing none, thank you, Carlos, for a very thorough, detailed report. And more importantly, you know, thank you to all the staff, leadership, everybody that make the wheels turn. And you know, what always excites me when it comes down to it is hearing that we're helping blind people find jobs, and they're good jobs, and that's what it's all about. And, I'm always very happy and pleased to hear when you can list specifically that you know, blind people are able to do these jobs. And I can't help but think, and I know that a big part of that is because of the services they received at Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and all the staff that had their part in making that happen. So again, thank you, Carlos. And unless there's anything else, are we ready to move on to the next subject, Carlos?
Yeah. Just I want to thank once again all the staff from NCA's, from the commission, because they work very hard. But I'm ready for the next one, yep.
All right, well, thank you. Moving on, Kimberly, do you have an update for Newsline?
I do, and it'll be pretty short. So basically, I do want to mention, in case anybody from the public does look at the website at the reports and the minutes from the meeting. If you look at the spreadsheet that I put all the statistics for Nebraska's usage for NFB Newsline, you may have noticed, you know, in the past that there were a couple empty rows. And then for the commissioners, I just wanted to explain kind of why with that. There were a couple rows of information in regards to a couple different methods of delivery, like one, for instance, is Alexa. The other was potable deliveries. And for the last little over a year, the information that I was receiving from NFB Newsline wasn't including that information. So this year, when I started the spreadsheet for 2022, I'm so sorry, 2022, I just removed those rows so that you don't have to worry about skipping past them. So anyway, as far as like NFB Newsline, Alexa is still a usable option. You can listen to NFB Newsline with the Alexa skill, even though it's not being reported in the spreadsheet. There were some problems with the Alexa skill during this past quarter, but those issues have been resolved and Alexa is now available again. When I gave my kind of report of what I've been doing since last commission meeting, I didn't mention NFB Newsline, but I did attend NFB's fall seminar and had the opportunity to talk with everyone at the seminar about NFB Newsline, share information about NFB Newsline, and answer questions, get some feedback. So that is something that kind of happened this last quarter. And then there is one other thing that's been added to NFB Newsline. You can access information about the at-home COVID testing, like the instructions for the government testing, COVID testing, and that's been added to, NFB Newsline. So there are a lot of publications that I just received information about yesterday that have been added, but I think I'll add those in our next quarter's report since I just got that information yesterday. Are there any questions about NFB Newsline?
Well, just thank you, Kimberly. One of these months I'm going to call upon you and see if you'll do a brief talk to the American Council of Blind or the Omaha Association of Blind about Newsline. And
more people, I'd be happy to.
More people access to Alexa now, and so it might be another resource for them that they haven't reconsidered.
And the web-based version of NFB Newsline, electronic versions, and like even the app, those are they're more highly used than the telephone now. If you guys look through the spreadsheet, really the usage is more the electronic, the apps, the website, and Alexa. Alexa's numbers are still pretty low, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'd be happy to do that.
Oh, thank you. We'll definitely do that. Any other commissioners before we move on to our next item? Okay. Well, thank you, Kimberly, for your update. Next on the agenda, we have the Client Assistance Program, or otherwise known as CAP. And do we have any update on CAP complaints or issues, Carlos or Carol?
Yeah, there was one issue. A client received a piece of equipment that wasn't delivered, and then when the staff member from the commission went back to train that person, the piece of equipment was not working, and it wasn't clear if the client was trying to use, it looks like she was trying to use the equipment and put it to extreme heat. So while they were debating that, the supervisor was already finding ways to solve the problem. Meanwhile, the client called a client assistance program, which is good. That means clients are being informed. And when a CAP called, the solution was already in its way. So we purchased a different equipment from a different budget. Because we couldn't purchase two equipment from the same, you know, it wasn't clear again who, if the client wasn't going to accept that she was exposing the equipment to heal, but the issue is solved.
Well, that's the most important thing is, and then I think that's a. You know, it's not us against them or who's right and who's wrong. It's just getting our consumers the technology and the services they need. And sometimes it just takes a little more communication, and it sounds like the system worked. So that's what it's supposed to do. So that doesn't sound too bad. Is there any others, Carlos?
No, just one.
All right. Well, very good. Well, good job. Moving down the list, we're on to new business now, and a little bit of background. If you're looking at the agenda, we should be at, this is supposed to be at the 11:10 mark, and this has to do with, you know, every 2 years, for the most part, we have a new commissioner or commissioners, plural, added to the commission board, and you know, there's a lot of different things involved in being commissioner, and I think since I've been around, I have personally participated, I think, in two new commissioner orientations, actually three maybe, but you know, the first time I was a new commissioner, and I learned a lot about what the commissioners do. And then the other times I was part of the presentation where we helped orientate the new commissioners on what it's like to be a commissioner, what our responsibilities are, expectations, and things like that. We used to call it a commissioner's retreat, and the idea was you know, we'd take a day on a weekend where the commissioners would get together and meet somewhere, and you know, in private, and just freely discuss, you know, what it's like to be a commissioner and the responsibilities and things like that. Last time we did something a little different, again, partly because of the pandemic, and we weren't able to meet in person, where we did more of a virtual training, and we opened it up to the public. And the exciting part was, is we had a lot of, you know, past commissioners that were able to participate in the call and participate in, you know, sharing what the role of the commissioner is, and that seemed to work out pretty good too. This isn't on the agenda, but Robert, I'm going to call upon you because you just finished your 8 years as a commissioner, and you've been involved in these before. Can you add a little bit to the context of the importance of the orientation for new commissioners?
Yes, Mark. There really are just, on one level, some things, you know, that an experienced commissioner can pass on to a newbie, you know, that maybe you wouldn't take on in a situation like this, even. because sometimes you want to say some things that you know just that could be taken wrong if the whole story really wasn't laid out right. So anyway, so that's just on one level that can be really good. Because you know sometimes just things happen, you know that. So that we'll just say that particular level. Otherwise, yeah. Just how we run a meeting, why we do some of the things we do. That's really important to get that flow and discussion. Talking about just again some of the rules of how we really must comport ourselves. You know, during a meeting and or outside of, you know, the meetings, because we are a potential conduit, you know, to the commission with suggestions, positive or maybe, again, a problem that they wish us to address. It's like going to your representative at the legislature or the national level. There are just, you know, again, some things that I think a new person may not be aware of, that they may be called upon, you know, to give, you know, some serious thought to and do actions. So anyway, it's just learning how to be a commissioner. It's you can't get it from anyone better than people that are doing it or have done it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Robert. I guess I'll call upon Brent here too, because Brent, I think this is you're starting your third year as a commissioner. And are there things that, you know, being newer to the commission board, are there things that you wish would have been explained better to you, or things that you want to share with the new commissioners and maybe have some ideas how we might be able to do that?
Well, I mean, I learned a lot from, the orientation that we had last time, things that I didn't even know before, like with all that I've done for the commission over the years that, I just had no idea, regarding like the history of the board and stuff like that, because I had only been to one or two meetings myself, and those were back early on during the time of the commission. So a lot had gone on and changed in that period of time that I was unaware about. As far as things that can be done differently, honestly, I don't know. I mean, the experience that we had, I can't speak for Kimberly, but the experience that I had with the orientation that we had, especially being open to the public, was definitely an eye-opening experience. Now, could have things have been different or even better if it was more of a private thing? Who knows? Because there are times that, you know, as a new person, you might want to ask a question that you may not necessarily want to be a public record, but could be useful. That could be useful too. So there's arguments either way. So.
Thank you. Kimberly, do you have anything that you'd like to add? I think Brent did a nice job, but you're in the same position as Brent was or is. So.
Yes. No, I think, Brent, you did a great job of kind of talking about the orientation. There are some things that I was thinking that might be helpful to talk about a little bit. I love that we had it as a public meeting where there were some past commissioners there as well, but I think it might be helpful to maybe talk a little bit more about kind of the storage of information, because that's a newer thing, you know, so maybe making sure we talk about that a little bit. And just kind of, I think we talked about the roles of each person on the board. I think that would be helpful to, you know, just talk about that a little bit. And I think really what we did previously was really well put together.
Okay. Well, you know, here's the thing. Nebraska open meeting law is very, very specific in that they don't want a couple commissioners deciding that they're going to you know, just, you know, we ran into each other and we're going to make some decisions without the light of day and openness and transparency. So, you know, anytime that, you know, three commissioners are together in a public place, that can be considered a meeting. I'll give an example. A couple of years ago, the commission was given some kind of presentation on, I can't even remember what it was, Carlos, maybe you can remember, but for one reason or another, we had three commissioners at a presentation that was in a public format, and I think it was considered a meeting. Do you remember that, Carlos?
Yeah, I think it was here in Lincoln when we were talking about order of selection.
Order of selection, yes, it was. And, you know, and it's just one of those deals. I can remember another time where we had like a subcommittee, and there were three of us commissioners that were on the same, you know, subcommittee, and that's not allowable. You know, if you got more than two people together, that's considered a place where decisions can happen, and that's not what the open meeting law is about. So those are just kind of examples of things that, was there any conspiracy or anything behind it? No, but can stuff like that lead to one thing or another? Yeah, so it is good to have maybe a working understanding of the cans and the can't do's, and so I don't know. Last time that we had the meeting where it was open to everybody was it was a virtual meeting, and it worked out well because we had six or seven past commissioners on the call, and I hope that they will be able to join us again. But it was considered a commissioner's meeting, and Carlos, is that something we could do if we're not under a pandemic circumstances, or would we have to do it in public in person if it's not a pandemic issue?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they changed the law saying that now it's 50% of the meetings can be remote or video conferencing.
Uh-huh.
So if this is going to be adding to the meetings, it will be five meetings in the year.
Uh-huh.
But that would be, this is one, the, today is one meeting. So you could have, technically speaking, one and a half more meetings like that.
Well, here's kind of what I'm thinking. You know, I don't know what the future of the pandemic is in virtual meetings. I would say our next meeting is supposed to be in May, and it's our hope that it will be in person. Maybe, how about we revisit this again in May when we have at least two meetings under our belt, and then we can all look at our calendars and maybe pick a date and a format to have that virtual or in-person meeting, you know, continued upon, you know, where we're at in the how the meetings are going and how many are in person. I don't know. Thoughts, commissioners? Can we kind of look at our calendars and maybe next meeting nail down the time and a date and a format? Would that be all right?
That sounds fine.
As a brand new commissioner, that seems like an awful long time.
Okay.
To not know what my responsibilities are.
Okay.
Mark, that's when we're doing our evaluation of the executive director. It might be a good idea for them, like, know that kind of stuff before then.
Ooh, well, good. Then we probably should, pick one. I appreciate that. That's why we have a committee. Let's see, right now we're February 5th. what would you say about trying to have a public virtual meeting sometime in April? I don't know if anybody's got their calendars out. I know I can't do it April 23rd. That's the ACB state convention weekend. And then I know we got Easter in there somewhere too, but could we, does April sound doable to you guys? Does anybody have a calendar that tells us when Easter is? Is Easter the 17th or?
Let me see if I have that. Oh, no, that's 2021.
Easter is the
17th. It is the 17th. So we could maybe look at the 9th of April.
And I think I'm going to be at a conference in Kansas for work on that week. And I'm not 100% sure, though, and I don't have my work calendar with me.
Well, then
could we possibly do something in March?
Yeah, or sure, we can do the latter part of March. I don't know, would April 2nd work for people, or the weekend before that?
The last weekend of March, I don't think that I would be able to do that, no, because I think that's when we're having our NFB virtual convention.
Sure, sure.
I don't think there's any other time in March, and I am, as far as I know, I'm pretty free in April too. I guess I would agree with Linda that the sooner we could have our training, I think the more comfortable we would feel.
Sure, sure. Well, what about April 2nd? Would that
work? I think it's okay. I can't tell you for sure. Sure. It's one of those first weekends of my conference. It's either the first weekend or the second weekend, so I'm not sure.
The second, I think, would work okay for me.
You can't go to March, Mark, then?
No, we can go to March. No, we can do March. I just...
I mean, I'm fine, except for that NFB weekend. I don't have...
Yeah, okay. Well, let's pick a weekend in March. Saturday...
Five 12 19.
Say that again.
5/12/19.
Okay.
Is this usually an all day training, or usually about how long does it take?
It's probably, it could be three, four hours.
Okay.
I don't remember it taking much more than that, and I think we were fortunate, we were lucky that Carlos was able to be on the call. It's not mandatory, but I know he added to the discussion as well. And Carol brought a unique perspective, because not only is she, the deputy director, but she at one time was a commissioner. So she brought a unique perspective to it too.